always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider, as well as lead Lakers content creator for Offside. Joined on this fine Thursday night / Friday morning, my time, by you guys. Harrison did the show yesterday. Raj, it was at moneylaundering.com arena, and that leaves you guys here with me to break down the Lakers picking up a win, moving into the third seed in the Western Conference. Luka Doncic absolutely owning Matas Buzelis to an extent that felt almost mean at various points of the game. LeBron James returns in that game, and I thought his approach to his return spoke very loudly of kind of what we're hoping to see here moving forward. The Lakers seem to figure out the equation of the Luka, Austin, LeBron usage conundrum, so we'll talk a little bit about that. DeAndre Ayton played his third straight really bleeping good game, which is really important given that Jackson Hayes needed imaging done on his back. We'll see how that turns out, as well as Maxi Kleber continuing to be out with his lumbar situation. So overall, the Lakers beat the Chicago Bulls. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about various aspects of it, and we will talk about a wild night around the league as the Denver Nuggets beat the San Antonio Spurs, and the Oklahoma City Thunder just barely beat the Boston Celtics. Really fun night, honestly, around the league. So we'll talk a little bit about Lakers. We'll talk a little bit about the league. We'll talk about whatever it is that you guys want to talk about over the course of the show as you guys leave your comments and stuff like that as well. But yes, let's go ahead and dive on in. Obviously, please hit that subscribe button. Please hit that like button. Please hit that share button. Turn on those notifications for whenever we go live, and tell your friends about the show. If you guys are listening to the show in the morning via podcast, please subscribe wherever it is that you get your podcast, preferably on Odyssey, but wherever you get them is perfectly fine with me. Enough of the ramble and the preamble and all of the ambles. Let's dive on it. 142-130. Not a ton of defense played in this game, as the Lakers beat the Chicago Bulls for the second time this season. The main story, obviously, from an individual standpoint, is Luka Doncic scoring 51 points, dishing out 9 assists and grabbing 10 rebounds. I think he's been playing some of his better defense of the year these last couple weeks as well. So he obviously stood out the most. Also for the Lakers, DeAndre Ayton, 23-10. You had LeBron go for 18-7-7. You had Rui go for 15 points, knocking down 3 of 5 of his 3-point attempts. Austin quietly dropped 30 in this game, and led the starting five in plus minus. I thought the way that the Lakers kept him involved was very notable. The Lakers starters in this one, and it's funny because this is a starting lineup that I and most people don't like, but the Lakers starting group in this one absolutely dominated this game. They were fantastic. The ball was moving. I thought the energy level from them defensively was higher than any other group that the Lakers threw out there. This was probably the best game that this collection of talent has played so far this season. And yeah, like it comes against a Chicago Bulls team that went 0 for February. So, you know, there are some obvious disclaimers and caveats here. But given that this team struggled against everybody all year, it was just really nice to see these guys get and stay on the same page. And a lot of it just really involves LeBron, Rui, and Ayton like really leveling up from an energy standpoint and playing at an engagement rate and a discipline rate that we just really haven't seen very much of this year when that group of Luka, Austin, LeBron, Rui, and Ayton are out there together or have been out there together. So that was great to see.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored.
The Lakers bench had a quiet night, obviously. When you score 142 points and 137 of those points come from the starters, that would usually mean that your bench was a little anemic. Jake LaRavia was 0 for the night, but was still a plus 13, which kind of speaks to the level of again, energy, engagement, and activity that Jake plays with. Just I'm really starting to worry though about the way that his offensive game is going. He's not even looking at the basket with any kind of confidence right now, and that cannot be the case. But then you had, you know, Jared Vanderbilt got out there for 10 minutes. He didn't score. Grabbed a couple of rebounds. Was kind of a quiet Jared Vanderbilt game. I actually thought that the Lakers. Like what I will say about Vando was, with Marcus Smart and with Jackson Hayes out, those are two high energy rotation players that the Lakers did not have. And there was a bit of a lull that the Lakers had kind of fallen into. JJ puts Vando out there. He kind of wreaks the havoc that he tends to wreak. I thought kind of steered the Lakers back in the direction that they needed to go. So that was good from Vando. Luke Kennard got out there 1 of 7 from the field for Luke, 1 of 5 from 3-point range, probably his worst in terms of productivity offensive game that he's played as a Laker so far. But what I will say about Luke was some of the shots that he was taking were rushed. And I say that as a compliment. I say that as that being a good thing here for the Lakers, because you talk to any Laker, you listen to any Laker talk about what, you know, they say they've been talking to Luke Kennard about, and they all say, yeah, we need you to shoot more. And it was far more in this game just letting it rip. And yeah, that led to a poor field goal percentage, but you look at the way that Chicago and every other team reacts to Luke Kennard getting the basketball, and that oftentimes is the kind of initiating factor that the Lakers need from a secondary player or tertiary even player that, you know, you just weren't getting from like Gabe Vincent, or you don't really get from a Marcus Smart or from a Jared Vanderbilt or a Rui Hachimura. You know, simply because Luke Kennard is such a threat offensively, teams rotate out to him like it is a Cat 5 disaster going on. And that starts the blender, as Pete will come on the show and say. And that, you know, really gets the Lakers going in the right direction. So even while he wasn't producing very much on an individual basis in this game, I still really like what Luke Kennard brought to the table. And at the end of the day, like the bench players who got in there in this game, I thought did a very good job of making sure that the starters who remained in the game while the bench was in there continued to do the work that they were doing. So from, you know, just in terms of like what the Lakers did overall, I thought that this was a, you know, the defense could have been better. The defensive rebounding, I thought, could have been better. But offensively, you score 142 points. Like, you did a lot right. Let's talk about LeBron. Let's start with Luka, because I do this as often as anybody, and it is worth pointing it out as I potentially do it again. But JJ Redick was asked after the game about the game about Luka Doncic's effort in this game. Again, Luka goes for 51 points on 17 of 31 shooting. 9 of 14 from the field, 8 of 9 from the free throw line, grabbed 10 rebounds, dished out 7 assists, had 3 steals in this game as well as a block, and only had 1 turnover in the game. From an offensive standpoint, that's one of the better games you will ever see. Like, just flat out. In terms of productivity, in every potential way that you could possibly produce, Luka Doncic played basically a perfect game. And JJ Redick, you know, he was asked about it after the game, and he said, Luka is playing some of the best basketball in the world right now, and not enough people are talking about it. And I was kind of thinking about it from this standpoint. You know, there was that random push over the last week and a half or so, you know, people saying Jaylen Brown should be a bigger factor in the MVP conversation. And it's like, look, I don't even want to go into the fact that the Celtics are actually better with him off of the court than when he is on it. I don't even want to go into the fact that, you know, that has everything to do with expectations. And the Celtics, like, even while they didn't have Jason Tatum this year, you still have a whole bunch of winning basketball players, as well as maybe the best coach in the sport. Like, all of that aside, it's always worth noting how many people in the media come from not just the East Coast, but Boston specifically. So when you see these pushes for, like, you know, or when you see the conversation go in the direction of, you know, I don't know why Jaylen Brown isn't being considered as the MVP this year, or I don't know why anybody else should be considered other than Joe Mazzulla for Coach of the Year this season. And when that, like, starts to dominate the conversation nationally, and you look and you see like 4 or 5 people who all hail from Boston, you're like, all right, guys, come on. There's 30 other teams in the league. There's 30 other NBA cities in this league. Well, I guess 29 other cities in this league. 28 because of the Lakers and the Clippers, you know, sharing LA. We don't, like, every single time, like, this is why Larry Bird won. I mean, that, because, you know, other factors, but like, Larry Bird was a great, iconic, legendary player. But every single thing that he did was taken to the nth degree because he was doing it in Boston. And that's where a whole bunch of media folks come from. I think the opposite takes place here, with, especially recently, in terms of awards conversations, where, you know, Anthony Davis never really factored into the Defensive Player of the Year conversation, even while he was carrying an entire organization defensively, the way that he was. Or, you know, no LeBron buzz for MVP while he was a Laker. And now you have, like, Luka, you know, averaging whatever, like, he's averaging 30 plus this season. Let's see what his actual, like, averages are. Hopefully this is already taken into account. But on the season, Luka is and Luka's averaging 32.5 points per game, which is second for him all time. in his career. He's averaging 8.5 assists per game. He's averaging just under 8 rebounds a game, a half of a block, a steal and a half. And you know, this mostly flawed, very flawed Lakers roster that has been like missed LeBron for chunks of the season and missed Austin Reeves for chunks of the season. I'm not even sure that Luka is going to qualify for, you know, for end of season awards. I think he's on pace to, but and you know, no MVP buzz whatsoever for this dude. And yet, no, actually the conversation about Luka all year has been, well, he whines too much to the referees. He doesn't defend. He doesn't do this. He doesn't do that and all this stuff. And yet you look up, the Lakers are the 3 seed, the mostly with, again, a very flawed roster, a roster that the front office that built this roster is punting on the season. You know, he still has this Lakers team at the 3 seed, and yet, like, you know, over the course of the last couple of weeks or so, you sit here and you listen to the way that the Lakers are talked about nationally and the way that, like, the Celtics are talked about nationally, and you would think that, like, the Celtics are well on their way to, you know, winning a championship with a 16-0 record in the playoffs, and the Lakers were headed toward the lottery, and no. That is not actually the case in either of those cases. And I agree with JJ Redick that oftentimes greatness goes overlooked in purple and gold, because that's the expectation. And when all of these awards tend to be dictated by expectations, you know, like, I'm not even the biggest Rob Pelinka guy. And I'm not saying that he should win executive of the year for this year, but at various points in his career, Rob Pelinka has built a championship roster. He has acquired Anthony Davis. He has acquired Luka Doncic in a trade that is now, you know, and was at the time and is now hailed as one of the most lopsided trades in NBA history. And yet that somehow held against him. He never factors into the executive of the year conversation. No Lakers coach is ever considered for coach of the year, basically. And yet, like, the Lakers have one of the better resumes in terms of, like, organizational resumes that you could possibly have in the sport. And if you look at, like, the way that the you know, end of season awards have typically gone, you had, like, Iverson beat Shaq in one of the three-peat years. You had Nash beat Kobe. When Kobe averaged 35 points per game in a year, dragged Smush Parker and Luke Walton to the playoffs. It's just the way that the Lakers get talked about nationally, or they aren't talked about nationally. You know, every time the Lakers play on ESPN and it happens to be a Charles Barkley game, he starts every broadcast by saying, well, you know, the Lakers ain't that good. And it's like, okay, all right, cool. They might not win a championship this year. Still, good things can be going on with the Lakers, and that's not how they're talked about. So Luka goes off for 51 points tonight, has basically a perfect offensive game. And JJ Redick is absolutely right to point out how Luka has been talked about all season. Let's talk about LeBron. And look, at the beginning of the game, offensively, it was rough, right? Went 0 for his first 5 shots, was turning the ball over, had the ball knocked out of his hands. It looked like it was kind of heading in that direction where you're like, this is awkward, right? The Lakers are coming off of 2 straight really good wins without him. And you're like, come on, man, please figure it out. But even while that was going on, I felt like LeBron, from an engagement standpoint defensively, was doing plenty out there. And so you look at, you know, his final tally here, 18 points, 7 assists, 7 rebounds, a couple of steals, a block shot, did have 4 turnovers, and finished the game a plus 12. 7 of 13 from the floor, 0 of 2 from three-point range. He still can't throw a pee in the ocean from deep. But when you consider, you know, he goes 7 of 13 from the floor, and he missed his first 5 attempts from the floor. So you wipe those out, and from that point on, LeBron went 7 of 8 or whatever it was. 7 of 8 or no, I think he might have gone 1 of 5. So, yeah, I think that's what it was. But from that point on, no, I think that's what it was. He missed his like first 5 shots. And yet from that point on, I thought he ran the floor really well. I thought he initiated the Lakers in transition really well. I thought he was super active defensively and very physical defensively, which I like to see. Set a lot of good screens in this game, made some good passes, moved the basketball. Like, I don't know, going into the season, it felt like if the Lakers were going to make all of this work, LeBron, of the big three, of Luka, of Austin, and of LeBron, because he was the only guy who was physically capable of doing this, it felt like LeBron going into the season, I thought that LeBron needed to be the connective tissue to the big three, right? The Chris Bosh of this big three, the Draymond Green of this big three. And I know that's very difficult for, you know, to ask of a guy who is 41 years old, who has played a certain way his entire career and has, you know, needed connective tissue around him. It's difficult to basically just say like, all right, man, can you do this? And over the last couple of the games, right, when the Lakers beat the Knicks and when the Lakers beat the Timberwolves, I hopped on here and I said, I think it's going to require, like moving forward, LeBron playing shorter minutes, but playing harder in those minutes. And again, I don't think like statistically and in terms of the way that he looked in this game, LeBron didn't look all that comfortable offensively at the start of != But what he was doing was moving really well defensively. I thought he was being plenty physical, you know, boxing out and, you know, operating as a low man and talking a ton defensively. And I thought really kind of helped in a lot of those ways, which was really important in the game where the Lakers didn't have Jackson Hayes and didn't have Maxi Kleber. They needed a small ball five out there. And I thought LeBron did about as well as you could possibly ask a 41-year-old coming off of this brief absence that he's been that he's coming off of. And it's tough. It's probably unfair, but this is the way that the Lakers need LeBron to play. And I think this is the equation for the Lakers moving forward. Luka obviously has the highest usage rate of anybody on the team. That goes kind of without saying. I think Austin should be, option number 2 or 2A. And then you have LeBron, you know, filling in gaps as option either 2B or outright number 3. And, if that is something that the Lakers can get enough reps with over the course of, you know, this final stretch of the season, and if they can figure this out going into the postseason and also win a few games as they figure it out and hopefully get into the postseason with, you know, hold on to this 3 seed and get into the postseason that way, then, you know, all of a sudden, again, like this is a Western Conference where the San Antonio Spurs just blew a 20-point lead to the Denver Nuggets. The Nuggets this year have really struggled. I think they're down at like the 5 or 6 seed as we're having this conversation. The Oklahoma City Thunder have kind of, you know, come back to the pack. The East, right? They have some real viable challengers, but you have like, I think Boston is probably the team that I would favor above all else in that Eastern Conference. And they're going to rely on a post Achilles tear, Jason Tatum, and they, you know, don't have a whole bunch of center depth in a conference where they're going to have to go up against a Detroit Piston team with Jalen Duren and Isaiah Stewart and B-Ball Paul, as well as the superstardom of Cade Cunningham. But even the Pistons, like, how much creativity do they have outside of Cade Cunningham? The Cleveland Cavaliers traded for James Harden in an effort to shore up their playoff hopes. That doesn't typically go well for teams. And then you have the Knicks, right, who I think are just built as good, but not up here, you know? And so, like, for the Lakers, if they could figure this out, and I don't want to get too far, you know, ahead of myself here, because every time I start feeling optimistic about the Lakers, something terrible happens. But if the Lakers can figure some of this out, and this is what I said while LeBron has been out and while the Lakers were playing well without him, I trust LeBron to take notes and to look at the tape and recognize what it is that the Lakers need from him as he tries to round out his career on a high note, whether that be his Lakers career or his career. And if he's looking at the Lakers and he's watching Austin play the way that Austin is playing, and he's watching Luka play the way that Luka has been playing, and he looks around and he's like, you know what? I still have just enough in the tank to do the little things. Then that's best case scenario here for the Lakers. So hopefully that's what we see. And tonight, that's what we saw.